Can we be on our feet as we take our text? Thank you. Mark chapter 4 and verse 30. To see this mystery of the kingdom, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus was describing the condition of the church. And that church started from the day of Pentecost. And that is a church that is variously referred to as the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. A kingdom is a domain with a king. And our Lord is the King of Kings. And that is why if you are a member of that kingdom, you are not of this world. We are strangers here, and above all, we are ambassadors. We are representatives of that kingdom, and we are here to reflect what that kingdom looks like. That is what Christianity is all about. But it will undergo certain processes that will stumble the unrevelated ones. But our eyes of understanding, He, God, has opened by the spirit of revelation. And the reason we bring these things out is to avoid unnecessary stumbling by certain actions of certain people among us. And in the local church, Pride Assembly Church, and in Christianity generally. It is good you know, so that when you see things happening, you will not be taken aback. You yourself will not be stumbled. And may the Lord grant us understanding of this mystery in the name of Jesus. Apostle Paul called it the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. Yes. The truth is, Adam did not know how he will give birth a son that is supposed to be his son. But he was confused that the character of that son and the character of another one, two children, they are not the same. How can, if they are all my children, then why are their character different? Why is one behaving like an animal and the other one behaving exactly like me, Adam? And the same thing is in the church of Jesus Christ. The womb of Eve is the church of Jesus Christ. Adam planted his own. And that Adam is the last Adam. What's his name? And while men slept, he slept in the grave. He slept and went and said, I will come back. Between the time, he goes and comes back. An enemy went to the same womb and planted his own. Adam did not know what is happening. But this last Adam knows every mystery. And he has informed us in advance. So that you will know who is a true brother, who is a true sister. Love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody is a Christian. Everybody in the church is not a Christian. Even, is it last week? I was told, even last week, somebody lost her phone in the church here. Lost her phone. Chief phone. Another one time, the whole bag was taken away, even with the offering. There is one we have been watching out for. Maybe I say he don't stop to come. We have been watching out because we wanted to catch the person in action. Anytime you are dancing to go to give seedbed offering, he will dance and come, dance, and then bow and pack the one he can pack and run back. From the altar. Oh, you don't know. That is a brother, Abby. No, it's a backsliding brother. It's a brother. Love him. Love him. I want to show you. It is called the mystery of iniquity. And that is how Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, anyone that asks, you should give, Abby. No, if I'm going too far. The Bible says nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Abi? But the mystery now is, it's not everybody that says Jesus is Lord that is speaking by the Holy Ghost. If you don't understand, you will not be able to know who is a brother and who is a sister. And that is what Jesus Christ is explaining to us in Mark chapter 4, verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And may the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Sit down. Sit down. Listen very well. Don't let your neighbor distract you, because you don't know who your neighbor is. And I'm not saying this to cast suspicion upon anybody. Christian love extends to everybody. But Christian love is not foolishness. The Bible also tells us, be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Praise God. When the Bible says the foundation of God standeth sure, the Lord knoweth them that are his. It means there are some that are not his own. So that you'll understand why some the wicked prosper in their iniquity. But you try what they are doing and see whether your God will leave you alone. He will finish you. He will deal with you. He will punish you. But others, he leaves them. Go ahead, do what you want to do, because I have nothing doing with you. This mystery is so deep. And church, let me use this opportunity and tell you about the privilege that we have in this ministry. I am telling you, this ministry here is a teaching ministry. One of the things God showed me in 1973, before many of you were born, he showed me this ministry, 1973. It didn't come to pass until 1990. How can the word be going on? If it's prophecy going on, now everybody will run inside. Lord, locate me. Lord, locate me. But the word of God is quick and powerful. It pierces through. It's only through the word of God that you can find repentance. You can find eternal life. So I expect everybody to be attentive. And the same thing I'm saying, it also defines our origin. How can you say you are a Christian and you don't love the word of God? What did you come to church to do? Now listen very well. What he gave me and said I should follow him, he gave me a book and told me to follow him. And he revealed himself to me as my father and my God. And he gave me that book, and we went to start judging the people. I didn't understand that revelation until this ministry started. And I'm telling you, amen, that book he gave me is the Bible. And true to that revelation, every attempt of all these funny intermediate believers to take my attention away from the Bible to a sermon book of William Branham, it could not succeed, because my matter has been settled from the foundation of the world. Listen, and if I tell you how I received my revelation, it interests me so much, that these things that I tell you, they are the truth. And nobody can fault it. The only people that are faulting my teaching, especially intermediate believers, are those parrots. that have considered some people so revelated until God cannot go further than the revelation he has given certain people that they are following. And that is why, concerning the ministry of William Branham, I believe my revelation is perfect. Concerning the entire message, I believe the revelation he has given me is perfect. And I have been telling you people, amen. I say, I don't have any denominational hangover. God took me to prison yard to ground me in his word. It's not because I was such a criminal. One person cannot chop money in an office. Why is it only me, the lock? They release other people who chop and together with me. Because there was no substance in what they were doing. If I chop money. But I'm just trying to tell you, it was God's time to say, oh yeah, enter. And let me prepare you for something that is coming up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. On Tuesday morning, I was sitting down on my bed. I'm using it as an example. We will come to it sometime. I was sitting down on my bed and I was praying. And I was telling the Lord on Tuesday, certain prayers I was praying. I was saying, Lord, let me never fall down. I'm telling you, this is my prayer. That day, let nothing pull me down. I know there's assignment against me. Raising intercessors to stand in the gap for me in my time of weakness. Let me not fall by fornication. Let me not fall by adultery. Let me not fall by... I was just talking that, and he seized me up. And for the first time, he began to speak to me. For the first time, I knew the difference between adultery and fornication. And I came to the church on Thursday. Is it Thursday? On Thursday, I gathered all the ministers, including our writer, the scribe, Lawrence. Because I know if he doesn't see anything, he's not going to agree. He go fight them. So, luckily he was around. All of us, we went to the children's church hall, we brought chairs. I said, see something I caught. Including those two brothers that will put me on a hot seat every Thursday, rapture watch, be asking me questions that they did not tell me in advance, prepare to answer. I said, come now and listen. And we saw, for the first time, I understood Matthew 19, where he says, you cannot put away your wife except it be for fornication. And what the Bible meant by fornication and what the Bible meant by adultery. And we saw in the scriptures that the usage of the word adultery is not a married man leaving his wife to go and sleep with anybody outside. That is fornication. Fornication is every act, every sexual sin is fornication. Whether by the married or by the single. If you go to sleep with anybody that is not your wife, is fornication. But adultery is putting your wife away and marrying another. It has to be that you have married another. It's not sleeping with her, but marrying her. It is called adultery, according to the Bible. Praise God. And we saw it in the book of Mark. We saw it twice mentioned by Christ in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 19, Mark chapter 10, and other scriptures. Adultery is you marrying somebody, putting your wife away and marrying another is called adultery. And he that is put away and you go and marry her, you that put her away, you have caused her to commit adultery. And he that married her that is put away committed adultery. it has to be that you marry before it is called adultery. But if you just sleep with her, it is fornication. It's fornication. So, and these old preachers, because the revelation didn't come through them, they will be saying it's a lie. We say fornication is adultery, is sexual sin between singles. Therefore, he said, except it be for fornication, then we broke it down. I have taught the same thing before. And any time I have a revelation that correct my teaching, I will come to the same platform I taught it and correct myself. Praise the Lord. If you listen to the one where they talk before, listen to this one now and compare which one is more scriptural. And we grow from faith to faith. And don't tell me I'm not a preacher that I think I cannot make a mistake. I can make mistake, but the day I find the correct, I will come back with the same mouth and the same platform and correct myself. Correct myself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Fornication is not the sin that you committed out before you marry. That if it is found out that is fornication, you can put away. It's a wrong interpretation. So, what that scripture in Matthew 19 is saying is, you cannot put away your wife for any reason except for fornication. That is if you catch her in a sexual sin, sexual relationship with any man. Then you can put her away. But adultery is putting her away for any other reason other than fornication and marrying another. You are living in adultery. It is thus said the word of God. Praise the Lord. I'm saying this so that you'll understand why I am passionate about these teachings to establish us. It is the same way also he let me know. And what baffled me was Gabriel, your partner, Onyejaka. Now, he called me and said, Daddy, he said, the three types of believers in the church. He said the Lord was telling him in a revelation he got that it was while I was speaking with my wife who traveled, while I was speaking with her, that the Lord gave me that revelation. He sent it as a text message to me, and I sent for him the next day. I said, now I know God is talking to you. Because that was exactly what happened. When my wife, is it last July or so, she was in America, and we had cause to talk on phone about certain actions of certain people in the church. Especially all these acidic gossips that are going on. Deadly gossips that are going on. And in the course of me talking with her, that was the truth. That was when God began to minister to me, and I was telling her, remember, there are three kinds of believers. Remember. And that is what inspired that message that I came and preached here. And then I then knew. So it was truly God that was talking to me that day. And how do you know it is God that was talking to me? Because she was very worried. And after I broke it down for her, she saw it. And peace came upon her. That is how you know that was God that spoke. And the same effect also we must have as we try to look at the different types of Christians. That little seed that was planted, has grown over the years, has branches on the birds of the air, come and perch in it. And there are different types of birds that are perching on the branches of this tree called the Church of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tried to say these things in several ways. It described this in several ways. And we can pick these birds, the characteristics of some of these birds that can help us understand the various types of Christians that exist today in the church of Jesus Christ. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20, Apostle Paul was saying something, if we can read it. He says, but in a great house, that great house, there is no house greater than the house of the Lord, the church of the living God. That is the church of Jesus Christ. But he's using an analogy here to make us understand. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, precious vessels. But in that great house, there are also vessels of wood and of earth. And some of these vessels are vessels to honor and some to dishonor. All in that great house. That great house, inside the church of Jesus Christ, there are vessels of honor and there are vessels of dishonor. In the same house, the ark of Noah, hallelujah, the ark of Noah, God is going to destroy this world, and he made a way of escape for the people. He made a way of escape for the people. Noah, go and build an ark and tell them, this whole world will be destroyed unless you repent and enter this ark. The measurements were given. The skill to build it was given. And Noah was preparing it and preaching to the people. According to historians and theologians, preached for 120 years. God is always patient. In his own time, it was 120 years. But our own time, we have been preaching it for about 2,000 years. See how patient this God is. Judgment is coming. God's provision is the ark. We call it today Noah's ark. Get on board. Enter. They were making caricature of him. And he says, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be again at the coming of the Son of Man. Church, judgment will soon come. Like Noah preached, I am also preaching. And all preachers of righteousness are preaching. There are many people who just go to church by religion, but have no focus, have no bearing, have nothing they are aiming to achieve. Just membership. Just membership. That's all. Just religion. Just that's all. To pacify their conscience that they are serving God. But where are you going? They have no bearing. But I'm telling you, there is only one bearing. That bearing, our destiny, our destination is the ark that God has prepared for man to run into. Run into. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous running into it and is saved. Go and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not is damned already. Saved from what? Saved from the destruction that will soon take place on this earth. Noah believed it. His family members believed it. Even animals believed the gospel. But man heard it. Amen. Stubborn. But see where I am going now. The birds that came, there were also some birds. All manner of animals enter Noah's ark. All manner of animals entered Noah's ark. But among those animals, let's restrict ourselves to what will give us a picture that I want to convey now. Two birds. Hallelujah. Let's read and see the story first. In Genesis chapter 8. The flood is over. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I read it from verse 6. Let me read it up to verse 12. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro. Somebody shout raven. Until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also, he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. See the difference now. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet. And she returned unto him into the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days. But the raven never come back. The raven never come back. The raven don't go. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. Amen. Listen, church. Two birds were sent out. And each of them represents one group of Christian or the other. The dove symbolizes the Spirit of God. Amen. And last Sunday, we looked at the characteristic of the dove. The second bird that he sent was the raven. And let's look at the raven first and foremost. The raven, I tried to read from various authorities the characteristic of this raven and why it had to be a raven that Noah was sent out, because he did not send any other birds, but he was particular about these two birds. It is through these two birds that he's going to know the condition of the earth after the flood. They will bring back the report to him. Because they were all his church members. They were all his reliable church members that stayed with him. Amen. In the ark. They were all in the church. So, why did he send the raven first? Why did he send the raven first? What did he want to learn? The raven is known as a bird that scavenges. It's a scavenger. A scavenger. It's an animal that feeds on carrion, dead plant materials, or it feeds on refuse, carcasses are usually quickly disposed of by scavengers. So it is known for eating. For going to dustbin to eat unclean places, that is where it goes. If you want any dead carcass to be cleared so that the place can be clean, you send a scavenging bird, and a raven will be good in that ministry. A person who searches for and collects discarded items is known as a scavenger. A reputation, a man that is known, a human being, any man or woman known with a reputation as a scavenger of discarded odds and ends, anything that is discarded. We see them now, they carry bags, they go to refuse dump in Lagos here, and then they have one stick that they are looking for. Things that people have thrown away, that is what they enjoy. That is what they pick. That is what they feast on. I'm talking about the Christian, or not be bad, oh. Praise God. Scavenger. Dead food. Dead. Completely dead food. Scripturally also. Amen. Because you have to understand this. Scripturally also. 2 Timothy chapter 2 tells us from verse 14. Let's read up to verse 18, an advice that Paul was giving Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and from verse 14. It says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Another word for scavenger, as far as the scripture is concerned, is a babbler. One who talks incoherently. One who talks nonsense, no sense in what he's saying. One who talks foolishly. A babbler is another name also for gossips, for murmurers, for rantlers, those who rant, and such words. And Apostle Paul knows that they will exist in the church. He told Timothy, a young pastor, and he said, their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, ministers that worked together with Apostle Paul before, but had to leave. Why? They went off preaching another revelation. Who, concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So if I ask you, who is a raven Christian? A raven Christian is a scavenger. Scavenger. The word of God is the food of the spirit. Is the food of the soul. The dove cannot eat anyhow food because it doesn't even have a gallbladder. So it is careful. If he eats certain things, it will poison, he will die. But a raven can eat anything. 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 In fact, he prefers dead food. He will not go to where fresh food is. He goes to where the dead carcasses, the dead food. Something that has been discarded and is needed no more. That is what it specializes in doing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And always remember, hallelujah. I'm choosing my word because there are people here that when I'm preaching, they are part of those scavengers and babblers in our midst. When I'm preaching, instead of them to look at themselves, they will say, he's preaching Olumide. I understand the last time I was preaching, I was saying something here, and somebody was preaching, another brother was pointing to a brother. Now you, they talk about to. Now you, they talk about to. The brother was saying, no, it's not me. It's not me. It's now you. While I'm preaching, oh. And another person was observing what was going on among them. Even at the back there, those people don't sit in front. They always sit at the back. When I'm preaching there, they are countering what I am saying. There are another type of bed here. There's a sister that had to change seats one time. She did like say she wants to go to the toilet and moved and went back because they were distracting her with murmuring, scavengers, ravens. But a dove is always quiet, very timid, always ready to learn, because it is the Spirit of Christ. Serene and holy, obedient, Lord. How can I be preaching? And you are so stubborn. You are so uncultured. Everybody knows where there is civilization. Civilized people. When somebody is talking, you don't talk back to distract the person by your side, because you'll be disturbing his flow of understanding. But you're sitting there. I tell you, I know who they talk about. Now that minister will come out that time. Now he they talk about. Because you are the decoder. You are the decoder now. That decodes what I mean. That is why I pause as I want to say something. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wait, now they will soon tell you that now you. If they not tell you here, now after service, they go meet you. Say, now you that they preach today, now you today, Simon, be all among. Not be you. Now that person, where they tell you, say, now you the boy. Now him I preach today. Now him. Now you are the preacher today. This church must produce Christians. Darkness shall not cover light. Light will cover darkness. And through this altar, we shall make all serpents as uncomfortable as possible here.